Don Tatum, that's a beautiful prayer. I appreciated that. I don't want people to think I'm negative. But there's things that we have to think about and talk about and share, and that's what we're going to do today. I wish you would have your Bible out, because I'm going to leave plenty of time for you to read from the Scripture. But I didn't want to do it this way, but I think I've got to. When we were growing up, there were more positive things that went on in a worship service. No matter how old or young I was, it was enlightening to me. But my folks were faithful, and they did the right things as far as worship service and so forth. But we've got a sign out front, not of this building, but in lots of places in the state of Texas, you have a sign that says Church of Christ. And if you walk in there and worship, it isn't the Church of Christ. You understand? That's the negative that I don't want to be labeled as that, but I'm talking about in my really kind of hometown, which I've lived here longer than there. But when you walk in, and there is, it's almost like a dance, or you're at a lively movie. It is not the Church of Christ. Y'all keep your Bibles open, and let's see if we can find out some good things. The restoration of New Testament Christianity. What I mean is that we want to restore, not here, but we're okay here, but, you know, to come to worship someplace else if you have to move or something. But the restoration of the New Testament Christianity. First, let us see if we can have a restoration that is required if there's no departure from the original set forth in the New Testament. Then no restoration is needed. But if Christianity taught by Jesus Christ has been changed or distorted or remolded to fit man's likes and dislikes, it is very important that we search the Scriptures for truth. So get ready to start reading Scripture with me. To begin with, let us look at the Scriptures in the light of, in the Scripture says that it's going to be a foretold apostasy. That's a no-no. That's negative. And if you would return to Matthew 7, verses 15 through 23. Matthew 7, 15 through 23. Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from the thistles, are they? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then you will know then by them, by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. When Paul met with the elders from Ephesus, but he met him kind of halfway because they met at Miletus. And Paul told the elders then that wolves would not spare the flock. Something was going wrong. There was a big negative there. Would you look at Acts 20? Acts 20, verses 28 through 31. I'll get you a little time there to find it. Acts 20, 28 through 31. Be on guard for yourselves and all the flock among you, which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. And I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. From among your own selves, men will arise and speak perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, on the alert, remembering that night and day for a period of 3 years that I did not cease to admonish each one with tears. That's how serious it was for the Apostle Paul. Paul was, he feared, he was a little afraid that Satan would beguile the bride of Christ, just as he did the bride of Adam. And that is a scripture from 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3. But I fear, Paul's talking to himself here, he's writing this, and he says, but I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve in his craftiness, your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity and the purity that is toward Christ. A large portion of Paul's second letter to those at Thessalonica deals with that apostasy that would develop before Christ's second coming. If you want to follow with me, let's read together 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. 2 Thessalonians. Start with chapter 2, verse 1. Now we request you, brethren, with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, that you may not be quickly shaken from your composure, or you're disturbed either by a spirit or a message or a letter, as if it was from us, to affect that day of the Lord has come. Let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come unless the apostasy comes first, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, and the son of destruction who opposed and assaults himself above every so-called God, that's little g, or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God. Do you not remember that while I was still with you, I was telling you these things? This is what I was referring to when I was saying, when I was growing up, it was different than it is in my, I guess, hometown. It's more of a hometown here, but in my hometown in Abilene, a lot of the congregations that have Church of Christ across the front of the building are not the true Church of Christ. And he says here, you know what restrains him now, so that in his time he may be revealed. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will slay with the breath of his mouth, and coming to an end, bring to an end by the appearance of his coming. That is, one of those coming is in accord with the activity of Satan, with all power and signs and false wonders, and with all the deception of the wickedness for those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth as it was to be saved. And for this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence, so they might believe what is false, in order that they may be judged who did not believe the truth, but took pleasure in wickedness. Paul wrote to Timothy during the last days, the latter days, you know, as Paul was getting older, when men would fall away from the truth. And if you would, to fool with the pages, and I'll give you enough time. This is 1 Timothy 4, the first five verses. 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 5. But the Spirit explicitly says that in later times, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons by means of the hypocrisy of liars, seared in their own conscience as with a branding iron, men who forbid marriage and advocate abstaining from foods which God has created to be gratefully shared in by those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with gratitude, for it is sanctified by means of the word of God and prayer. And if you'll just turn a few pages and let's read together 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 8. Second Timothy 3, 1 through 8. But realize this, that in the last days difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Holding to a form of godliness, they have denied its power and avoid such men as these. For among them are those who enter into the households and captivate weak women weighed down with sins, led on by various impulses, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And just as Janus and Jambres opposed Moses, so then men also oppose the truth. Men of depraved mind, rejected as regards the faith. Let's see if we can find 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 5. 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 5. Because Paul writes that Timothy in the last days, when men are going to fall away from the truth, and here he's trying to warn him soon enough for this to not happen, but it's going to. And so let's look at one more or a couple of more. 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 5. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead by his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. But you, be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. And certainly we would expect the Apostle Peter to come on the scene, and he made a specific mention of false teachers, and he added that many would follow after them. You can turn now to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you. Peter's given them a warning, ample time warning there. Teachers among you who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves, and many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of the truth will be maligned. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their judgment from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. Peter has one more gift for us if we just listen to this. 2 Peter 3, verses 1 through 7. Peter's written two letters, but they're not as big and lots of volume, But Peter has good words that he's telling, urging them to do as what God wants you to do. 2 Peter 3, 1 through 7. Now, this is now, beloved, the second letter that I'm writing to you, in which I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder that you should remember the words spoken beforehand by the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior spoken by your apostles. He's encouraging them. Know this, first of all, that in the last days mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lusts, and saying, "Where's the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as if it was from the beginning of creation. For when they maintain this, it escapes their notice that by the word of God, the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and by water, through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded with water. But the present heavens and earth by his word are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men." I could go on with this, but I'm not going to, because Revelations chapter 17 and Revelations chapter 18 they're doing the same thing here that Peter and Paul and these that are writing this. And sure enough, this is the same thing, how corrupted the church would be at the same time. It was depicted as a brazen harlot riding on the back of a beast. All of us that see Christianity today is contaminated with doctrines of commandments of men, so the restoration is needed. We need to restore this, and they have. There is a parallel situation in the Old Testament about the books of 2 Kings and 2 Chronicles, but we won't read all of those. King Josiah was reigning in Jerusalem during the time of neglect for the true Jewish religion, but the Jewish people had long since departed the simple religion of their ancestors. They didn't keep the Sabbath. They even worshipped other little g gods. One day, a workman found a book in the temple, and it was found to be authentic as God's word. Then King Josiah, he's one of the good kings, instituted complete reform in Jerusalem. It is important to notice that he did not begin a new religion. He merely restored the true one. Told you that King Josiah is a good guy. There is parallel situation near the turn of the 19th century, and men had departed from the Bible. And the Bible even had been locked up in a dead language for years. But then there's men like this. About the 19th century, you got a man named Barton Stone, and you got another man named Thomas Campbell, and his son Alexander Campbell. Those three said, "Hey, this is wrong. This is wrong. We need to get back to Scripture." And these men rediscovered the truth. And they, not in the beginning, but they studied and studied and studied, and they obeyed the gospel. Josiah could not bring back the manna from heaven, pillars of clouds of fire, and likewise men today that cannot restore miracles of the apostolic time. There's no need for those anyway. Just read the Bible and obey. Secondly, the direct inspiration of teachers cannot be restored. In apostolic times, those are the times when the apostles were on the earth, and the Holy Spirit was placed in their mouths when the teachers were telling them what to say. Jesus never promised to guide anyone except the apostles into all the truth. That's in John 16:13, and Jesus was the speaker in that letter. The Holy Spirit, in speaking to the apostles, did not speak of himself. In other words, the Holy Spirit did not attempt to guide the apostles except by bringing to their remembrance that which Jesus had told them. And the apostles were guided into all the truth by the Holy Spirit. And today, we must be guided by the Word of God. Other things we cannot restore are speaking in tongues and the supernatural healing of the sick. These gifts were given to the apostles not to be used today. There are other things already restored since the time of that 19th century that I said a while ago about the stone, Barton Stone and Alexander Campbell, ends up being gospel preachers in the Church of Christ. The Word of God has been elevated back to its proper place as the one authority in the churches of Christ. Don't try to add anything else to it or to soften it up or have a guy that's a good singer here, and I'm referring to a congregation that's right there in Abilene, and you got a boy, girl, boy, girl, boy, girl, boy, girl, and they're all walking up and down the aisle, you know. And it, I didn't say anything about that. I'm just warning those young people that do not stray away from this. 2 Peter 1, verse 3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that are pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and to virtue. Would you turn to Galatians with me? Galatians 1:1-10. Paul, an apostle, not sent from men, nor through the agency of man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren who are with me to the churches at Galatia. This is Paul, another one of Paul's letters. And he's writing them to scold or to encourage. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us out of the present evil age, according to the will of our God and the Father, to the glory ever forevermore. Amen. And then he's writing down something pretty powerful right here. He said, I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another. Only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. And you know how the Apostle Paul feels about that. But if we, even though we, or an angel from heaven, should preach to you a gospel contrary to that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so I say again now. If any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to that which you received, let him be accursed. He said it again. Get it. You got to get it. And he's repeated himself because it's that important. For am I seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Jesus Christ. The New Testament organization has been restored. And each church of Christ, wherever it's located, no matter how large or how small the membership, answers not to a higher system of control. They have the instructions in the Bible from God Almighty. This higher than the local church organization is not found in the Scriptures. We've got the Scriptures. Read it. Believe it. And what some of them were doing, like I said, I'm thinking of two in Abilene. That, there's prayer. There's Lord's Supper. There's giving of your means. Teaching. Singing. Period. Not any fancy dance up and down the aisles. If we stray from this form of worship, when we must answer to this scripture, Mark 7:7, howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. We can't do it, can't allow it to ever flood this membership here. Now, as much progress has been made, and there's a few things that we need still to get restored. I don't even know if it's a word, but I wrote it down as prayerfulness. Because we pray lots. We need to pray lots. And at home, or when we come together at church. And the same thing about the kind of the brotherly thing, ties of Christian brotherhood and a zeal for spreading the word. A restoration of New Testament Christianity has been accomplished, and yet we must strive even harder to restore God's word in today's fast-moving 21st century. You're tired of me. I'm saying that this congregation, with the elders and deacons that we have, and the preacher and the youth minister, we're not going to disobey anything. We can't, because then we unload on the little kids and they grow up and it's all chaos. So let's, if you feel like that you need to come down and repent, but mainly just keep doing what you're doing. I'm thrilled that to be an elder here, because we're not having trouble. We're having wonderful times of coming in here and studying and singing, and I'm so thrilled to be with you. If you have anything that you think you need as we stand and sing, that's the time to come down the aisle.